There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, it is Friday, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along over the next couple hours. You and I hanging out, a phone number and the text line. You've got them, right? 343-0106 for a phone call or a text. Same digits, 343-0106. And you can always leave us a talk back message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. When you open up the front page there, or the landing page, or whatever they call that thing, you'll see a microphone icon on there. If you press that, it lets you record a message, emails it to the this show or any of the 55 hours a week of live local programming coming out of here, and the host can choose to put it on the air or not. I can't say what they're going to do, but just kind of work my way through it. All right, coming up in this hour, we'll be checking in with our buddy John Sharp, and then hour number two, Cameron Smith joins us. But to get this hour started, so I was listening to Jeff's conversation over the last few hours, and this question about American jobs, and a couple things here. For, you know, we'll get into what Vivek had to say. Vivek Ramaswamy talking about why the hiring of people that are not native born Americans happens. And he kind of gets some tough language here. I think he said U.S. mediocrity culture is why tech companies hire foreign born engineers and all this. So we can get into that. But before we go any further, so Jeff's talking about these ideas and a lot of people rallying around. Trump has got the idea, right? He's got the idea on trade and tariffs and keeping American jobs American. Well, there was a prototype to Trump. There's a prototype. And he was a candidate in the first presidential election I ever voted in. And like I said, I grew up in a very conservative family, Reagan Republicans, to the point that you know, they were at the inauguration of Reagan. That's how Reagan Republicans, Reagan Republican my parents were. So I did what any, you know, a good teenager did. I said, okay, how can I buck the system a little bit? But I'm not a Democrat. How can I buck the system? And there was this guy who was talking and making a lot of sense to me when I was young. And his name, you've heard me talk about it over the decades here, Ross Perot, right? And we talk about Ross Perot. The ideas, what Trump is out with, and not saying that it's not right for Trump to be talking about it, but they aren't brand new. This shot was called way back when, in 1992, by Ross Perot, when he was discussing foreign trade. And so I want you to hear it. And of course, you probably, those of you my age or older, remember the giant sucking sound, right, that Ross Perot talked about. We'll get to that in a second. But this idea is Ross Perot coming in from a, before Donald Trump was the businessman in politics, Ross Perot was the businessman in politics, and laying out a situation just common sense-wise, that, hey, if you, you know, put an uneven playing field out there, players will take advantage of it. At the same time, I grew up, and we'll kind of get into this later in the hour, I'd love to hear from you, as a person who really appreciated the economics of Milton Friedman. So how do I square that? We're all a dichotomy, aren't we? Milton Friedman is somebody who believed that tariffs were bad, that free trade, I mean, unfettered free trade benefits all out there. He also back then said it's a tough thing politically to move because the idea of true unfettered free trade is politically unpopular. We'll get to that quote. Before we do, though, before we go into that, and the yin and the yang of my economic philosophy and what I've talked about over the years, I want to start off with that moment back in 1992. So you hear the conversation Jeff had and jobs and what President Trump, former President Trump, President-elect Trump had talked about in 2016, talked about again, that resonated so much that the labor unions, the Democrats' stronghold of the labor unions, turned out to either endorse or their members voting for Trump in high, high numbers. That could have been, could it have been something that Ross Perot could have harnessed back in 1992? Because on the debate stage, we're about to play a clip, you've got George Bush Sr., who was pro-NAFTA, Bill Clinton, soon to be president after this, a couple months after this debate, soon to be president-elect. He was pro-NAFTA. But there was one guy out there saying, y'all are making a big, big mistake. And I remember that. Can we go ahead and go with clip one? Here's the debate back in 1992 and a question asked about this and foreign trade to Ross Perot.
The candidates will have an opportunity to make a closing statement. So, President Bush, I think you said it earlier. Let's get it on.
Let's go.
And I think the first question is over here.
Yes, I'd like to direct my question to Mr. Perot. What will you do as president to open foreign markets to fair competition from American business and to stop unfair competition here at home from foreign countries so that we can bring jobs back to the United States?
That's right at the top of my agenda. We've shipped millions of jobs overseas, and we have a strange situation because we have a process in Washington where after you've served for a while, you cash in, become a foreign lobbyist, make $30,000 a month, then take a leave, work on presidential campaigns, make sure you got good contacts, and then go back out. Now, if you just want to get down to brass tacks, first thing you ought to do is get all these folks who've got these one-way trade agreements that we've negotiated over the years and say, fellas, we'll take the same deal we gave you. And they'll gridlock right at that point because, for example, we've got international competitors who simply could not unload their cars off the ships if they had to comply. You see, if it was a two-way street, just couldn't do it. We have got to stop sending jobs overseas. To those of you in the audience who are business people, pretty simple. If you're paying $12, $13, $14 an hour for factory workers, and you can move your factory south of the border, pay a dollar an hour for labor, hire a young 25, that's assuming you've been in business for a long time, you've got a mature workforce. Pay a dollar an hour for your labor, have no health care, that's the most expensive single element making a car, have no environmental controls, no pollution controls, and no retirement, and you don't care about anything but making money, there will be a giant sucking sound going south. So if the people send me to Washington, the first thing I'll do is study that 2,000-page agreement and make sure it's a two-way street. One last point here. I've decided I was dumb and didn't understand it, so I called a who's who of the folks who've been around it, and I said, why won't everybody go south? They said, we'll be disruptive. I said, for how long? I finally got them up for 12 to 15 years, and I said, well, how does it stop being disruptive? And that is when their jobs come up from a dollar an hour to $6 an hour and ours go down to $6 an hour, then it's leveled again. But in the meantime, you've wrecked the country with these kinds of deals. We've got to cut it out.
Thank you, Mr. Perot. I see that the president.
And I can say, boom, Ross Perot, 1992, called his shot, said, I'm about to sink the three, and here we go. And he called it out and laid it out as clearly as possible. Here I was this young budding Ross Perot fan, and would talk to my family, a family involved in business, and tell them how can you do this? And they said, it's going to sort itself out, just like you heard Ross Perot say. But it never did sort itself out, and there's no business or market incentive for it to set it, to move itself from the place that makes the most money for the company. And once again, as we talk about, the new vibe is evil corporations. Corporations aren't evil. Now, have there been bad things? Corporations do, you could say, yeah, but what's their job? Their job is not to create public safety, public welfare. Their job is to make money. That's why the corporation exists. That's why. So are there things that I don't like about? Yes, Lord knows. I've talked and our system set up for corporate welfare in this country disgusts me, but not because the corporate lobbyists asked for it, because the legislative bodies, Jeff talked about with the visas and so many other programs, that the legislatures that we elect set the deal up. The corporation's not bad. The lobbyist is not bad for asking for the thing. They're doing what you would expect them to do. They're doing what's in their best interest. The problem is the elected official, they got enough votes to beat whoever they were running against and gets paid with public dollars, said, yeah, that deal looks good. Let's go forward with that deal. So there's Ross Perot back in 1992. And come back, I'll talk about how life is a dichotomy because you... How can one person be a Ross Perot fan and a Milton Friedman fan? I don't know. I'm a riddle wrapped in an enigma in a delicious chocolate bourbon ball. So, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or on the telephone. You pick up your, let me keep it back in the 90s there, but your Sports Illustrated football phone. Those are all the rage, right? Pick it up and give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The name is the number. New year coming. If you're going to try to get organized, straightened up around the house or the office or whatever, I got a pro tip for you. Fewer things, easier to organize. Get rid of the junk. And use my buddy, Trey. He's been doing this for 16-plus years along Mobile and Baldwin County. He gets boxes of small stuff. He gets big things. He gets everything in between, meaning the big things, too. I mean, we think about them for, like, come in, get stuff out of the attic or what used to be a guest room that's a junk room or a storage unit. You got boxes in there. But he also moves big stuff, above-ground swimming pools. You've got a storage shed in the backyard. You don't want it or anything in it. You maybe you bought that house and had it in there. Get rid of that, swing sets, all that kind of big stuff, the big trampolines. He can handle that as well if you're going, man, I'm going to get around to it. And get that junk on. We'll get around to it today with my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So make that appointment. Get it done. Get the new year started the right way. Online appointments at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And when I say appointments, it's the real thing. So I've used them personally, used them with the radio station. Several of us have around the station. You can look at the hundreds of Google reviews for people that live around here that thought so much of the service. After they got the service, they took time to go online and say how good the service was. And one of the things I think that makes that key is they actually make appointments. Not this, like I said, I've had to deal with stuff helping my mother with things over the last few months. And it's this stuff where they say, oh, we'll be there sometime between 7 in the morning and like 7 at night or something like that. I mean, where you can't have a life. Now, you get an actual appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So holler at my boy Trey and get that thing done. Also, before we get back into the economics chat, which I know probably puts half the people asleep here, but that's here's one of the things that's super important about conservatism to me. I come from a real fiscal angle, probably more than somewhat social, but I'm driven if I had to pick one side. It's the fiscal things that drive me. But before we do, there's a story up, and I'm saying this because I was just sending a picture to Dalton. I think the story from WBRC out of Birmingham, and it's on Fox 10's website. It says ALEA, so Alabama Law Enforcement Association, warns drivers to look out for deer during this time of year. And it said troopers say several drivers have been involved in accidents with deer over the last few days. And I go, you know, state trooper on the street interview, and then they go, you know, dusk and dawn, all that kind of, okay. So my daughter, I don't live too far out, past the city limits here. I'm out a little bit, but if you drive Airport Boulevard, you know, I've seen deer as close as the east side of Mobile Regional Airport. My daughter wasn't too much further on that side, on the west side of the airport, a little west of Snow, last night. And, I was out picking, just a little bit ago, picking deer here out of the side of her vehicle. Had deer just run right into her, pretty darn close to town. So it could happen anywhere. You don't have to just be on a way out country road. Deer are moving. You know, they're always moving because that's what they have to do to eat and stuff. But you got the rut starting. And those things going, absolutely crunched her car. And I tell you what, let me put this up as a question on the text line. So she calls me and said, hey, I guess something happened. I'm okay. And I said, okay. What happened? And I had to ask, was she okay? Her friend in the car okay? Everybody okay? For the, like, dad style, right? Y'all, for like the fifth time, is everybody okay? Is everybody, nobody's hurt? Are you scared? Are you okay? No, I'm back at your house, this and that and the other. So then I asked her a question about the accident where the deer ran into it. If you can guess what I asked her after making sure my child was okay, let me know your guess on the text line at 343-0106. All right, and speaking of the text line, too, Matt had said that was strong, listening to the clip of Ross Perot. I just want to point out, I mean, and I was really a master class in economics. But Milton Friedman said, and I'm going to butcher some of this stuff, but it said we should be, he was for full free trade. He said it would lead to economic prosperity for us, but also for the planet. And he, like I said, I butchered this a little bit, but the argument was different places on Earth are better at doing certain things. They have certain raw materials more than the other, closer to a factory. What we figured out is the raw material that really has driven our consumer age has been bodies, workers, humans, which is now changing with AI, right, and automation. That's going to be an interesting wrinkle thrown into this. But he believed that it should be free trade. But he even, Milton Friedman said, so Milton Friedman, who will be the Milton Friedman fans, which, like I said, I'm one of as well, will push back on a Trump or a Ross Perot argument and say, look, you're all wrong on this. This protectionist thing you do doesn't benefit in the long term. Well, Milton Friedman even said, though, this only works is if the street goes both ways, which you heard Ross Perot saying. He believed that, like, because he was a guy that was a proponent for trade with China back when it was, you know, when that wasn't a cool thing. And he said, you know, you don't, but his idea was that if we didn't have restrictions on Chinese products coming in, they wouldn't have restrictions on ours. Problem is, one half of that formula didn't work, right? But he would, I mean, he was open to that. Like both countries, he would argue that the United States was completely open to Chinese products and China was completely open to U.S. products. Both countries would benefit from it. Now, we've seen one half of that argument not come through, right? So he was also, I mean, he was anti-tariff. And he, I mean, the arguments made about tariffs that are, you know, some level by the Democrats now are Milton Friedman arguments, which can, I don't know if they clutch their pearls hard enough to believe that they would be arguing pro what Milton Friedman was saying back in the 60s and 70s out there. But it's an interesting thing. And I thought it was worth playing the clip from Ross Perot and others. All right, let's see if we grab a couple of texts here. Let's see. Yeah, so... Jimmy said, my question to her, my first question was, how bad is a deer messed up and do you think we could salvage the meat? That was my, from after finding out she was okay, that was my second question. Unnamed texter said, was it a buck or a doe? That's exactly what I said. Well, was it a buck? Was it a good buck? She said, I don't know. And then, yes. Yeah, so Jimmy, I said the same thing. I said, is it laying there? Can I go ahead and pick it up? I could use a little more venison. All right, coming right back. John Sharp joins us next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, weather update there that y'all heard, and I didn't hear from the, I see my phone had chimed in on this, the weather warning. Which, by the way, about 3.5 minutes of that weather warning, which is a tornado warning right now for Western Mobile County and Southeastern George County. So that goes on till 1:15 today. And, yeah, people were texting, Sean, it's in your area. Yeah, I'm out here. The thunderstorm line coming just to our west out here. But, yeah, that, once again, Western Mobile County and Southeastern George County, a tornado warning, not tornado watch. That means they've seen a signature of a tornado probably on radar. That doesn't always mean there's a one on the land, but you take precaution, absolutely, like we're doing here. But yes, I was in a big discussion. I guess we can go back and listen to it in podcast form. I was a big discussion of, after talking about Ross Perot, I was talking about, you know, this dichotomy between my love of what Ross Perot was saying in 92 and my adherence to economic principles of Milton Friedman. So there you go. All right. You know what? This is a perfect segue because I mentioned also at the beginning of the last break that I was out picking the hair of a deer out of the side of my daughter's vehicle, one of the many vehicles I bought from LCM Motor Cars, and my buddy David McCrary, who joins us now. That Black Equinox took a hit last night, man. Deer ran slap into it.
I can't stand driving at night looking for deers. They always seem to just look at me, thank the Lord nothing's running out in front of me. Sean, we got some cars that we were talking about the other day that came in today. The BMW four-door sedan 5 Series came in overnight. The Toyota Tundra came in overnight. It's Toyota SR5 2017 model. It's a charcoal gray, really nice truck. It's got an NADA of right over 20 grand, something you can buy for 18. So we've got plenty of inventory, and it continues to hit.
That's good stuff. And if people want to check out the vehicles in person, I mean, what your hours today, normal? What about tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll be here 9 to 2 tomorrow. That's our normal Saturday, 9 to 2. I mean, if we got a customer, we stay. If you know, we're not doing anything, we go home too, give everybody a decent weekend. And then next week we'll be here every day, you know, 8 to 6 like normal, except for Wednesday we'll be closed. And then that's it. I mean, the holidays are just about over, bud.
Good deal. Well, I'm going to take this one vehicle to probably my friend Heather Humphreys and drop it off and maybe come check with you on something else for the kiddo, man. So I know how to get there, but explain to the others how to find you in person.
We're on Highway 90 at the intersection of Plantation Road. That is 1 mile south of I-10 on exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. We should have pictures of pretty much everything on there now. Most of everything's up to date.
All right. Thanks, David. We'll talk soon.
Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yeah, there we go. We'll be seeing you soon. That's my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. Yeah, and people are talking about it. If I do, if it drops out or, gets pixelized vocally here, I am at the studios in West Mobile County where the thunderstorm line's coming through and also under that tornado warning going on right now. And I'm linked to you, speaking of people in the news we may get to next hour, I'm linked to you through the Starlink that I run here, but the Starlink happens to be on the roof of my house and held down with very strong magnets, but I don't know if strong enough to, if I get a little twister here, I will go off there and when things are okay, I'll go put the thing back up there and we'll continue the broadcast. And I do appreciate too that the text line lit up when I asked, when I mentioned that my daughter, a deer, and it looks like it, I asked her 10 times, did you hit the deer? Where it hit on the car, I think the deer actually truly hit her. I said, after I found out, dad style, five times asking her if she was okay, her friends were okay, and then the next question asked, and y'all hit it. Was it a buck or a doe, and is it still there, and can I go get the meat? Can I get there and get the meat? So y'all know me. Either y'all know yourselves very well, or you know the meat. And by the way, my buddy Backstrap Stacker, who is in the insurance business, giving me, I need some good news, because I mean, it's Backstrap, I'll send you a picture here. It says it is a he said, hitting a deer is a comprehensive claim, doesn't hurt your insurance rates like a collision claim. Good, because I got a 19-year-old driver. I'm picking deer here out of the car. All right, his daughter's not ready to drive, but think about this, John Sharp. In the future, you'll have to worry about getting a call from your daughter and say, hey, out of nowhere, a deer came and it just plowed into my vehicle.
I'm looking forward to those days. Good luck to that. Interesting, this whole... you're talking about the storm and the situation on West Mobile. I'm downtown right now, and it's been 12 years ago since we had that tornado go through Midtown, and it just brings back memories like yesterday.
Has it been 12 years? It's 12 years since the Christmas tornado.
Yeah, and I'll never forget it. I lived in an apartment at the time near the Loop, and it went about 50 yards from where I lived, and I heard the whole thing. It was amazing. It was just, it was wild. I mean, it was just...
I was on the air when that happened. It was in the morning, and I was on the air, because I know we had two of them. One of them, I was on the air, and sitting there, we had these big... You've been to the studio before, and they've replaced those doors now with the automatic slide ones, but it used to be these big glass doors, heavy glass doors you had to open. I mean, seriously heavy. And when the tornado came over, all the doors stood open immediately as the pressure dropped, right? And they stood open, and then one of the vehicles in the back, and the apartments surrounding the station there got all messed up, but one of the vehicles in the back, a Suburban, had the back glass pulled out of the Suburban and shattered. Like you had the two-part Suburban, you could open the glass or the whole hatch, and pulled the whole glass out, boom, and popped it there all over the parking lot. So, yeah, I do remember that day.
Well, I think there was two tornadoes that hit within the week, and that made it.
Yeah, and I don't know which one it was. Yeah. The one that hit us is one I think that bounced up towards McConnell on Dolphin and went up that way.
Yeah, the one that went through Midtown was on Christmas Day night, and because I remember it was dark, and I was out there shooting pictures outside, right at the Loop.
Always the journalist. Always a journalist. Right. I mean, even when it affected you personally, you're like, here I go. Where's my camera?
Well, yeah, and there's power lines down in water, and I'm like, eh, it's probably not smart. But, yeah, it was a surreal night. I'll never forget going back to the old press register building at 401 Water and sitting out looking out the window, and it was just like this lightning display that, you know, it's still embedded in my memory. It was a Christmas not to forget, that's for sure.
Yeah, and this time of year, I mean, our staff meteorologist, yeah. Dr. Bill Williams, will tell you this is, you know, while people think tornado season, they're like, yeah, the spring. Well, you're thinking about the Great Plains. It's tornadoes here, and we can have them on into the spring in Alabama, absolutely. But right here along the Gulf Coast, December is a pretty big month for them. So.
Yes, exactly. And we got this quite a warm front. I saw the system coming in. Weather forecaster said it was going to peter out a little bit as it moved into Alabama, but not down here. That doesn't appear to be the case. So, yeah, everybody, heed the warnings.
Yeah, okay. So, again, I was going to ask you about Mill Reef first, but then picture that I'm using a pivot. I was going to say, and it's a real tornado with the city of Mobile politically, but I do want to ask you about Mill Reef first, because you wrote that story and Dan and Dalton were talking about it the other day, and Dan was like, well, I don't know if I can find Mill Reef. And I said, man, just look for the traffic light on Highway 17. You know, I mean, it's like that stood out as a kid. It was like, you know, the one traffic light back then was in Mill Reef, and they won the best Christmas decoration contest Little Milry did?
Oh, yes. What a story. What a cool story. So, yeah, you know, a few weeks ago, this is how this story all came about. I'm driving back home with my wife, and we're talking. I'm sitting there, you know, what would be a good little story would be, you know, we did like this March Madness, like tournament of the best Christmas decorations in Alabama, because we do a lot of these little, you know, we're the best this, we're the best that online, this, you know, and try to generate audience on our website. And I thought, well, you know, it'd be kind of cool, it'd be interactive and be really relevant, I think, is to do this kind of like this March Madness tournament. I pitched it to my bosses and they liked it, but, you know, instead of making it like a 64 team thing that people would lose interest in about 2 weeks, we decided to narrow it down, you know, to do like a crowdsource. Yeah, throw something out there on Facebook. See which, what people are saying, you know, what are the real cities out there that do the best? And we're talking about city decorations, you know, public squares, not like Bellingrath, not a private venue, but, you know, out right. In public. And so that's the big difference there. So we did that, and it was interesting the amount of responses we got back. I went through them, you know, the hundreds of, you know, people, Carrollton got a lot, that initial call out.
Yeah.
In western Alabama, and then we got Fort Payne and Jasper and Huntsville and of course Fairhope and Foley, but there was a few that popped up, and more than just a few, but it was also Millery, Alabama. I thought, that's interesting, and I said, well, so it got to where we decided to go ahead and pursue this, and I wanted to include three regions, 12 cities, and we kind of narrowed it down to the, you know, the names of the cities that were thrown out there by some of our social media users. And it got down to the South region. Of course, I'm going to put Andalusia in there. They're well known, Southern Living or whatever magazines always, you know, tout their Christmas in Candyland every year. And then, of course, Fairhope. I put Foley in there. And I thought, well, we need a fourth one for this area. I thought to myself, you know, there's a few cities around here that do a really good job, but let's branch it out to a small one that people were throwing its name out there, and that was Millery. So I put Millery out there. And so we did this tournament, and my goodness, Millery wound up winning the South region, beating, narrowly escaping, but beating Andalusia. And so I took the winner of the South region, then the winner of the Central region, which wound up being Opelika, and then taking the winner of the North region, which ended up being Fort Payne, and putting them in this final that culminated into a final vote that went all the way up to about midnight on December 23rd. And it was a very close race between Fort Payne and Millery. But Millery, you know, to their credit, whoever's supporting it, they were on the poll and clicking a lot. kind of nappy.
Your bosses should give you your bosses should give you a raise, because, you know, in media this time of year, it's tough to sometimes it gets to be kind of a slower news cycle because of the holidays, to find a story that breaks through and something that's interactive. John, I think if they're listening, your bosses need to go ahead and get the bonus check and a raise.
Well, I appreciate that. Kind of the Clark Griswold Jelly of the Month raise, right? But any rate, it was a, you know, and Millery winning was, and it was very close. You know, Fort Payne, I know the mayor was, to their credit, they got a neat little display in the northern part of the state. But Millery winning was convenient to me because I'm down in Mobile, and I made the initial phone calls to those folks. They thought they won the World Series. I thought that was really cool. I mean, it was just kind of like they were celebrating in Millery. And I'm like, well, you know what? Doggone, I called my wife and my daughter and rounded them up on the 23rd. And they came downtown Mobile where I was working all day. And I said, let's go up to Millery. Let's see what this is all about. And I'll tell you, Sean, it is amazing what they've done up there. They put this display together in the last 4 years, and it's evolved. And that thing is huge. I mean, it is just really impressive. You know, I thought to myself, oh, well, Millery won, and I'm not sure, you know, did they really deserve the win? You know, I got to see this for myself. And they even say, you know, in Millery, you got to come and see this for yourself. I was skeptical. I'm a journalist. I'm, you know, naturally skeptical.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, I'm impressed. And take my word for it, next year. Well, actually, this goes on all the way till I think they got the display out there till January 1st. So folks still have time to go up to Millery to take a look at this. But, you know, definitely next year, if folks get a chance to, they're looking for something unique, different, a little bit out of the way, because Millery's not down the road. It's a good hour drawn away, if not more. You know, make that trip up to Washington County because they got something going on up there. That's really neat what they've done. And a lot of those folks, they've put in a lot of work and effort into it. And to their credit, you know, it's kind of like Andalusia, kind of like Fort Payne. And they see the Christmas season as a way to generate tourism, it's like a tourism destination. And, you know, you tip your hat to some of those communities.
It's a good thing. Yeah, and little old Millery, it's bringing pride back to Alabama's oldest county, right? Washington County, Alabama's oldest county, used to be the center of everything, and now you're bringing it back with the Christmas light contest. John, you deserve a raise and Jelly of the Month as well from the bosses there.
Yeah, and just real quick, it also shows the power of this. You know, sometimes we laugh about it down here with the Moon Pie Festival. You know, that was Fred Richardson. What was it, about $9,000 of seed money to get this thing started?
Right, and in all the grief I've given to former Councilman Fred Richardson, I have never given grief after the first year about that. I said Fred Richardson was savvy on that one for sure.
Right, he hit a home run there. You know, it takes a couple of years.
I agree.
But, and then the same thing with Millery. It was a $10,000 initial investment. I think, you know, I was talking to the mayor there, or the former mayor, he said, yeah, there was some grumbling about it initially, but all that's clearly gone away now. And I'm like, I went out, it was a massive crowd out there in Millery. And you're talking about a town of 500, maybe a little over 500 people. So that's even more impressive. So, yeah, it's cool what they got going on up there.
It's good stuff. Y'all check that story out. Now I've left us only, you know, about 5 minutes here or less for my segue into the tornado that hit on Christmas Eve. And what was, you know, you reported on this. You interviewed former Chief Prine, and this was something he said was coming, and it looks like it did on Christmas Eve, a lawsuit against several people here with the city of Mobile. A lot of names in this from former Chief Prine.
Yeah, very all-encompassing, you know, and includes, you know, the mayor, obviously, the chief of staff, Jim Barber, obviously, Rob Lasky, the executive director of public safety. One thing I haven't gotten, I'm not completely clear about, of course, it's just been filed, but there's five of the seven council members in there. Two of them are not listed, and that's Gina Gregory and Josh Woods. But the other five are listed. So, yeah, and then, of course, Kenyon Brown, the former U.S. attorney, and his company as well. So, and the company that wrote the actual report was listed in there. So, yeah, there's a lot of parties involved.
Now, my question is, when does this see the courtroom or at least the beginning of this? Because I'm thinking, you know, some of the names involved here, well, the person not running, Stimson, but you have some names involved here that might be people running in the mayoral cycle for Mobile 2025.
That's a good point. There is probably some political implications in this. It'll be out in the news probably throughout next year when the mayor's race is hot and heavy, you know, especially in the summertime. So, and of course, you know, that's not to rule out whether or not you know, Paul Prime might consider running, although at this point I'm not aware of that. He has not indicated whether or not he is or he isn't. And there's also some belief that he would need to live in the city of Mobile. There's residency issues as well. So, there are political implications. You got some council members who have weighed a potential run for mayor. They're listed on there as well. If they decide to run, or even if they're deciding to run for reelection, they'll probably have to talk about what's happened and transpired in the last year. You know, 2024, this has been the biggest issue at City Hall, Government Plaza. I mean, it's just been, the situation involving the police chief certainly dominated the headlines in the spring of this year and into the summer. It's quieted a little bit lately. But here we go again with this lawsuit. There are several other lawsuits that are going on as well based on some of those use of force cases from 2023. So, yeah, this is something that, public safety will be, and the handling of personnel will probably be a major issue to discuss during the campaign trail.
Which means we will continue to discuss this going forward in 2025. John, as always, I appreciate your time. Happy New Year early to you, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, Sean, you too. Happy New Year.
And there he goes, John Sharp, the man. Go check those stories out and a whole lot more over at AL.com. Or find him at JohnSharp99 on Twitter. He's a great dude, great dad, and a hell of a journalist. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Check in here. Maybe we had that tornado warning in effect till 1:15, but looks like in Dalton or Leanna, y'all can let me know. Does it look like it's lifted maybe? Because I saw that warning go away. I don't have everything in front of me here, but looks like that went away. The thunderstorm line coming through West Mobile County, heading to you and, points east, so get ready. And unsettled weather through the weekend, so staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Yeah, this happens usually the week before leading into Christmas. It seems a little late this year, but we get these, we get the warm temperatures and they get the rough weather. This is kind of part of the, as I get longer and longer in the tooth, I remember these things year after year happening out there. All right, we'll get some text here, too, at 343-0106. Oh, speaking of text, too, so my buddy sends me a text on my phone here, and we've been talking. He's listened to the show, and he said, I talked about this last night for a second. I don't go a whole bunch of sports on this show, but y'all know I'm a graduate of the University of Alabama, big fan of the Crimson Tide. That's my team, right? So good years, bad years. But he said Alabama got hosed by the playoff committee. Ain't no way Alabama was worse than SMU or Indiana. So I follow and watching those games, I agree with you, my friend. But at the same time, I'm a weird kind of Bama fan. I felt like Bama didn't deserve to get in either, if you know what I'm talking about. I wanted them in because I'm a fan, but they didn't get in like a punishment. I don't know. All right. Coming back, hour number two, we'll be joined by Cameron Smith next hour.